Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to each one this morning in the Saviour's name to the house of the Lord. We are so thankful to see each and every one gathered out, and it is our prayers always that not only will we have fellowship one with the other, but that we will know the Lord's presence and the Lord's blessing upon us. Let me also welcome those that are joining online as well, and wherever you are, may the Lord bless you and be with you as you come and even have this time around God's word with us this morning. The announcements are a bit lengthy, but we'll be as quick as we can. First of all, can I just, on behalf of our brother Mr. Gibson, he sends his apologies for not being here last Sunday. The Thursday previous, he had just finished preparing the message to come here, and he got a phone call telling him that he had to isolate, having been in contact with other individuals. And so he does send his apologies. And can we also say a word of thanks publicly to the Reverend Kerskadden then for filling in last Sunday at short notice with our brother's services, and the church in the south still being closed. It meant that he was free to come and to minister here, and we certainly do appreciate that. Then do remember the services as they continue throughout today. We have our evening service this evening at 7 p.m. and as always there will be that time of prayer beforehand at 6:30 through to 6:50. And we do encourage God's people to come and to pray with us, and even to come and to pray for the ministry and God's word again this evening. We are returning to our studies in the book of Acts tonight, and we are coming to chapter 15. And the title for this evening's message is Earnestly Contending for the Faith. And so we do, as we say, encourage each one to come back again tonight for the time in God's house. Tuesday evening at 7:30 there is a meeting for the session of the church, and we do remind you of that. Then Wednesday night is a deputation meeting here in the church at 8 p.m. and God willing, Mr. Robert McConnell, one of the children's evangelists for our denomination, he will be along to take that service and to bring us up to date on his work. And we do encourage you to make that effort to come and hear of how the Lord is using our brother, and we do also remind you of the offering that will be lifted at the end of the service for our brother's work. God willing, then Friday evening at 8 p.m. will be the youth fellowship here in the church at 8 p.m. and the subject, young people, for this particular Friday, we're going to be looking at the work of outreach. And so young people, as I say, 8 p.m. this Friday here in the church building. Then the services next Sunday at the normal times, beginning with the Sabbath school at 10:30 in the morning, and then the usual times of worship 11:30 and 7 p.m. and the time of prayer beforehand from 6:30. And I'll be here in the will of the Lord to minister at both of those services. Can we say that there are some other and extra copies of the 2020 accounts in the front porch and the table? If you weren't here on Wednesday night and you would like a copy, then as you're leaving this morning, please do take one for yourself. Then on behalf of our government on our Morals Committee, can we announce that there is a special season of prayer that has been arranged for this Saturday morning, Saturday the 24th of April. And once again, it will be on that Zoom online platform. It is from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and it is open to all members of our congregations who would like to come in to those prayer times. And it is especially around the need for biblical morality in our land. As you know, there are those debates coming up in relation to abortion and also in relation to conversion therapy. And so we do encourage you, if you can, this Saturday morning to come and to be part of that special time of prayer. If you're unable to join on that platform, then we do encourage you even to spend particular and especially special time in your own house this Saturday morning praying for the needs of our land in relation to these matters, in relation to these debates that are coming up. Can we also mention to you as well that there is an article that our presbytery has put together along with the Government Morals Committee. It is being published. It is an open letter from the Free Presbyterian Church. It is to the Secretary of State and also to the politicians of our land. And it is, God willing, going to be published in the newsletter, if they take that choice, or we can get that slot to put it into the paper, and it will carry all of the names of the ministers of our denomination And I just want to read that letter to you this morning, just to highlight where our church stands in relation to these matters. It says, the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster views with deep concern the reports that Secretary of State Brandon Lewis is set to act by way of regulation at Westminster to direct the Department of Health to commission abortion services. As a church, we have consistently campaigned upon the scriptural position that abortion is the murder of innocent human beings, and for some to classify this as a healthcare issue for women is beyond credulity. The Bible treats children in the womb as fully human, Psalm 139, verses 13 to 15. Our conscience is bound by the word of God that says, thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20 and 13. And we are concerned that the flouting of God's law will further increase God's judgment on the nation. We are shocked that the Secretary of State should contemplate overruling the devolution of powers to Stormont to bring in such a regulation, to simply force unwanted doctrinaire regulations on people is not a way to ensure stability or confidence in democracy in our community. We urge those politicians who are pro-life to stand firm in their convictions. You cannot be party to the commissioning of the killing of the innocent, even when it is incongruously done in the name of human rights. This is an occasion when you should resist at every turn. We are conscious of women who are in distressing circumstances. The answer to your need is found in a loving Saviour, the best, most compassionate counsel a woman who has had an abortion can receive is to be told of the pardoning love of God. To those who are contemplating an abortion, we ask you to get in touch with us or those who are very willing to help you. The gospel calls on all to repent and to be converted to a gracious Saviour, Acts 3 and verse 19. And that is the letter that has been, or God willing, will be published in the papers. It is an open letter, as I say, to the Secretary of State and all of our ministers. Names will be added to that letter. And can we also mention, I was speaking, as you know, we have been encouraging to make contact with MLAs in relation to this conversion therapy debate that is coming up. I was speaking to one of the MLAs just yesterday, and he informed me that there has been an amendment to that debate, which has been tabled and accepted, that it will be debated. And that amendment, when it's brought in, if it is passed and accepted, it will give a measure or certain protection to religious figures, to members of clergy who wish to pray and even have that time of counsel if anyone so wishes for it. So do pray for that amendment, that if it's the Lord's will, that amendment will be successful. And even as this law or this legislation is debated, that there will be that protection and there will be that safe net and safeguard even for God's people, even to be able to pray with those that would need to have that counsel and that prayer. Can we also just mention to you, we mentioned briefly on Wednesday evening, to pray for the Reverend Fitzsimons and to pray for Dr. Wilson, both of whom have been unwell for some time, and certainly at this time they both still need your prayers. Just after Wednesday evening, I was informed that Dr. Wilson has now started a course of treatment. It is going to be a lengthy treatment, a number of months of this treatment. And if it is successful, then God willing, in the future, it may be the case that he is able to return. But the very early stages, as I said, it's a very lengthy treatment. So do pray that if it is the Lord's will, that it will be successful and God's servant will be able to return to the ministry in the future. Can we also just remind you at this time, and we do want to thank you for your cooperation, even over these weeks since we've been opened. And certainly on Thursday, we were all happy, as it were, because we finally got word that different things in society were opening again. And then we had a reminder on Friday of that the virus is still very much in our society, and indeed even in the local community here. So do remember the safety guidelines that we have in place. Do remember the distancing as you're coming and going from the building. Remember the hand sanitizing. Remember the masks or the face coverings as well, both as you enter, as you leave, and indeed during the services. And also do remember, if you or any of your family are feeling unwell at the time, and therefore if you could refrain just until it passes, or until you have that check done before coming to the services, please, it would be much appreciated. So that's lengthy, and that's me finished for announcements this morning. We're going to have our first item of worship and of praise, and it is the hymn 416, O For a Closer Walk with God. Amen. Let's stand for prayer, please, as we commit ourselves into the Lord's hands and commit our time this morning. Let me encourage each and every one that is saved to be praying that the Lord will come and minister to our hearts. Let's pray. Father, and our God in heaven, we come before Thee. In that attitude of prayer, once again, we come rejoicing that this is the Lord's day. This is the day, O God, that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we do thank Thee afresh for another day that Thou hast blessed us with. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy hand of mercy upon us throughout another week and for bringing us into a new week safely. We thank Thee, O God, for watching over us, for keeping Thy loving hand upon us. We thank Thee already for the many blessings that Thou hast given to us this morning. Lord, that we have woken up and we have been able to get up and out of bed. Thou hast blessed us already, O God, with that measure even of health, Lord, to be found in Thy house, for those travelling mercies and even for bringing us here in safety. We thank Thee for this place that we can come together and we can gather together to worship Thee and to praise Thee. We thank Thee, O God, this day afresh that we are coming to the living and the true God. We do rejoice this day, even afresh, O God, in our hearts, that our Lord Jesus, He is alive. We thank and praise Thee for this. We do rejoice in this. We rejoice in the exaltation of Christ. We thank and praise Thee that the grave could not hold Him, and rather He is alive forevermore. We come to Thee rejoicing this day. The One who's at the right hand is our Saviour. He is our Advocate, our Intercessor there in heaven. And we do rejoice that we can say He is our friend. And Father, we do pray even as we have listened to that hymn and we consider the words of that hymn. We do pray for that closer walk with Thee. We do pray, O God, that we will be nearer, still nearer, close to Thy heart. O God, that Thou wilt ever help us and enable us by Thy Spirit to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. O Father, that Thou wilt bless us once again this day as we are found in Thy house. That Thou wilt undertake, O God, for Thy worship even of Thyself again this morning, through the hymns that are played to us, through the reading of Thy Word, through the prayers that are offered, and through the preaching of that Word. O God, that Thou wilt own and bless each and every part of it. That Thou wilt take us away from self. That Thou wilt take us away, O God, from any thoughts or any distractions. And this morning that we will center upon the beautiful and the precious Son of God. Lord, He is the One in whom Thou art well pleased. And help us, O God, to be drawn out after Him, even afresh this morning. We do think of each one that is here, and we thank Thee for their attendance. We pray that Thou wilt bless them. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt undertake and meet each one at the very point of their need. We do pray for those as well that are unable to be here. O God, Thou knowest the circumstances, even in these days in which we live. We ask Thee that Thou wilt watch over each one, that Thou wilt strengthen each one, those that are laid aside with sickness. O God, that Thou wilt touch them, and even soon that they'll be able to rejoin us once again. We think even of this virus, O Lord, and even how it's come to the community here, and we pray that Thou wilt stay it even from this community, that Thou wilt watch over individuals, and that Thou wilt keep families. And Lord, those that have come down and contracted the virus, O Lord, that it will be mild and they will get over it even swiftly. Lord, that Thou wilt undertake for each one, that Thou wilt undertake for our land. O God, we do acknowledge that this virus and indeed everything that is going on, Lord, we can see the hand of God, we can see the judgment of the Lord even in permitting these things to come upon us. O God, that Thou wilt turn the wickedness away from this land, that Thou wilt turn men and women to Thyself. O God, that Thou wilt work even in Thy people, that Thou wilt enable us, O God, and work in us, that we will give ourselves more and more to prayer and to the things of the Lord. And Lord, that Thou wilt start a spiritual awakening in this land. O God, that Thou wilt turn even the wicked devices, the wicked plans and the laws that men would seek to bring in upon us. Lord, that Thou wilt rid our land of them. That Thou wilt protect the children and those unborn little ones even within the womb. That Thou wilt protect, O God, those ladies even from taking such drastic decisions. And O God, that Thou wilt save them. Lord, we think as well of these debates that are coming up. We think, O God, of the debate even that is coming this week in relation to that conversion therapy. O God, that Thou wilt rule and overrule in accordance with Thy will. There will be those that will take that stand for Thee. There will be those, O God, that will stand for the gospel. We think of the day, even today, in which we gather together and the significance of this date. The 500th anniversary since the Diet of Worms, whenever Martin Luther took his stand against all of those rulers in Europe and against even the Roman Catholic Church. And he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." O God, enable us to take our stand. Enable every child of God to take the stand for Thee in these days. Enable, O God, that banner to be raised, that standard to be raised when the enemy comes in like the flood. O Father, turn this nation to Thee. Cause Thy face to shine upon us. Give us that cause to rejoice in our hearts, we pray Thee. Lord, undertake, bless us this day. Bless every servant of Thine, up and down this land, across in the mainland, and our missionaries in the mission field. Lord, bless each one who has handled Thy word, or who will handle Thy word throughout the course of this day. Lord, give them power. Give them that unction from on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read our psalm for this week, please, at this stage. It is the 100th psalm that we're coming to read today. the Psalm 100. A psalm which carries the title, a psalm of praise. Of course, it is a psalm which so often has been sung within our church over the years, and indeed within our denomination. But this morning we read it together, the verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of this psalm to our hearts today. Our second hymn this morning is the hymn 526. The hymn 526, "I Have Only One Life on This Earth." And let's open our Bibles now in 2 Kings and the chapter 2, please. 2 Kings and the chapter 2. We return once again to the life and the days of Elijah. 2 Kings chapter 2 and the opening seven verses we will read together this morning. Second 2 Kings and chapter 2. And the verse 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Amen. And may God's blessing be upon the reading of his word. I've entitled the message this morning, The Farewell of Elijah. The farewell of Elijah. Let's just stand for a moment's prayer, please, as we come to the Word of God. Father, we pray thee, O God, even now, that thou wilt grant us that grace from on high. Grant grace to the preacher, grant grace to the hearer. Lord, we pray that thy word will come forth this day, and it will not simply be a sermon, it will not simply be the thoughts of man, but it will be the word from on high. Lord, we think so often of the prophets, and we think even of Elijah, and how time and again he always said, thus saith the Lord. O God, may it be the Lord's word to our hearts today. Lord, empty us now of self and of sin, and fill us with thy spirit. Settle every mind, settle every heart. And Lord, bring us even afresh around the word of God, and teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How fitting are those opening words of the chapter, it came to pass. The time of Elijah's ministry was coming to an end. That ministry which had begun so suddenly with the message of the Lord delivered to King Ahab that no rain or no drought would come upon the land because of the judgment of the Lord even for Israel's sin. That ministry which had covered many years, both in the private and in the public sphere. That ministry which had great days of success, great notable days whenever they stand out. And as Elijah would look back over his life, he could say, there was a great day. There was a day when the Lord blessed abundantly. We can think of one especially that stands out, of course, is the day upon Mount Carmel. Whenever he stood against King Ahab, he stood against all of Israel, and he stood against those hundreds of the false prophets of Baal. But we can also think of the dark days. We can think of the hard days. We can think of the difficult, yea, the depressing days in Elijah's ministry. Of course, we think then of the time when he received Jezebel's letter, and he ran, and he ran. And he got such into the depths of depression and into the depths of fear that he desired the Lord to take his life. He desired that his time on earth would be over, and he simply asked the Lord, take away my life. I don't want to live anymore. Of course, that was a prayer that God never answered in the affirmative. Yes, it was answered. God always answers prayer. It will always be either a yes, a no, or a wait, a pause, a hold. But God will always answer prayer. But certainly that was a prayer that was answered in a way that Elijah did not want. For Elijah would never die. Not only was Elijah's ministry coming to an end, but we see also Elijah's mentorship was coming to an end. It's believed that for a period of around 10 years, Elisha had followed after Elijah. He had went with him everywhere. He had went and listened to him everywhere. He traveled with him. He learned from him. But now all will be changing. The ministry and the mentorship which had come to the fore now is about to pass. The days of Elijah are coming to an end. But it is noteworthy to mention the fact that Elijah both understood and accepted that. If you look at those opening words in the verse number 1 of chapter 2, it says, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah understood what was going to happen, and Elijah accepted it. At this stage, he is not now saying, no, Lord, I want to live longer. I want to stay upon this earth. He is willing and he is ready. You see, Elijah knew that he was not a permanent fixture in the land of Israel. Some people behave like that. Some people act like that today, that the world is only about whenever they are here, that is the world. And if they were to go from this world, then that would be the end of everything. But that was not the case for Elijah. Elijah knew he was only there for as long as the Lord would have him. And Elijah's life, his ministry, so often it was always guided by the Lord. It was a case of he spoke when the Lord told him to speak. He went where the Lord told him to go. And when the Lord said, your time is over, your ministry is over, your service is over, Elijah said, so be it. He was only there to serve the Lord. He was the Lord's servant. And yes, we can say Elijah is one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Yes, he's a man of such great standing, a man of such courage, even that spiritual boldness within him. But at all times, Elijah understood this, I'm only a servant. And I'm only here at the Lord's pleasure. He was there as the Lord's messenger to deliver the Lord's message, whether that be to King Ahab, whether that be to King Ahaziah, whether that be to speaking to all of Israel, whether it be to confronting the false prophets of Baal, or whether it be just having that one-to-one conversation with the widow of Zarephath. At all times, he was a servant. And when that work of service was done, his time upon the earth would end. Child of God, that's important for us to remember today. Each and every one of us that is saved and serves the Lord, we will only be here until our service is done. We will only be kept upon this earth, and some are blessed with longer lives than others. You can even think of the saints and the servants of God down through the years. There have been ministers that have ministered into their 80s, to their 90s, but you can also think of Mary McSheehan. Mary McSheehan, tender age of 30, gone. Because he had a work to do, he had a service to perform. And when that service was accomplished, God said, come home. When we finish the race that is set before us, each one of us, God will say, come home. Your work upon the earth is done. Now come to the work that is for you in heaven. Elijah knew and he understood his time was ending. And so as always, even right to the end of his life upon this earth, he always followed the Lord's leading. Because you notice even through those verses that we read together, he constantly said, the Lord hath sent me to the next place. The Lord hath sent me, whether it be to Bethel, to Jericho, or even crossing the Jordan. He was going to those places because the Lord was sending him. And so he begins this farewell journey, this farewell tour. And I only want to really this morning to look at one point off this message and then God willing, we'll come back again next week to look at it. But this morning I want to look with you at the circuit that he took. The circuit that he took. He begins at Gilgal. He moves to Bethel. Then from Bethel he will go to Jericho. From Jericho he will cross the River Jordan. All of that journey is accomplished in one day. And in that one day, it is estimated that that journey from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to crossing the Jordan, that was a journey of 35 miles. Now, understanding in biblical times, a day's journey for a man in biblical times was 20 miles. If you did your 20 miles in a day, that's as far as a man would go in a day. And yet we read here of these places that Elijah goes to, and it comes to a total of around 35 miles. So we have to say from the outset, the pace is brisk. This man's fairly shifting. Because not only does he walk those 35 miles, but we also read that he stops at each of those locations to speak to the sons of the prophets. It's as if Elijah's in a hurry to get home. Elijah's understanding, this is the day that the Lord is going to take me home. And the Lord has given me these instructions, these places to go to. I'm going to get to them as quickly as possible because I understand I'm going home. It's a wonderful place to be when you're ready for home, isn't it? It's wonderful today, even in the midst of life, that we're ready for what will come in the future whenever the Lord's will is. That each one that is saved, that they have that joy within their hearts. This earth is not my final resting place. I'm just passing through. I have a home in heaven. I have the blessing of being with the Lord forever. In the space of that one day, he visited those four locations. You know, those four locations which were the points of his life, they give a picture of the key points in our life. If you think of these four, and we're going to go through them now, but all four of those locations are important both to Elijah and they're important to us today. Elijah, and indeed for all of Israel in those days, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan were places that were steeped in history. They were places which were so important for every child of Israel. And child of God, never ever dismiss your history. Now, I can say that with a smile on my face because I love history. I love especially going back into the British War in terms of all of the different conflicts that our land and our nation have fought and all of the history of America and even back into the ancient history, the Romans, the Greeks. I love all of that kind of stuff. And there are some young people, they absolutely hate history. They'd rather do geography or science or maths instead of history. But child of God, never dismiss your history. And never dismiss church history. Never just cast aside because of what happened to other saints of God down through the years, as if it's not important to you today. Your history is vital both to your present and indeed to your future. Warren Wiersbe writing, he said, "The past is not an anchor to hold us back, but it is a rudder to guide us. And the Lord can use those tangible memories to strengthen our faith." And each of these locations, in this farewell journey of Elijah, each location which is chosen by God, it carries a special meaning. We begin with Gilgal. Gilgal is the place of beginnings. It is the place of beginnings. It was the beginning on that particular day for Elijah in that final journey. But historically, Gilgal was also the first place that the Israelites encamped in after crossing the River Jordan and coming into the land of Canaan. Joshua 4, the verse 19, it tells us the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. And they encamped in Gilgal. It was also the place of circumcision for that new generation in the land of Canaan. Joshua 5 and verse 9, the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you, wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal." And thank God for the place of beginnings for every child of God.
Thank God that each and every one that is saved can look to that place of beginning when the burden of our sin was rolled away. When that punishment, that guilt, that penalty of death that was above our heads was taken away by the Lord. And that was the beginning of our relationship. That was the beginning of us coming into Christ. When our sin, that reproach, was taken away. And we began to live in Christ. We began to walk with Him. We began to live for Him. The beginning of our journey, that walk, that closer walk, even as we listened to that hymn this morning, we're longing for that closer walk with God. That walk had a beginning. I wonder this morning, maybe there's one with us this morning, or maybe one listening online, and they don't have a beginning. There is no place of beginning in your spiritual life. Yes, you can say, oh, I have that literal beginning the day I was born and brought into this world. And my birth date is this, and it's X number of years ago. But tell me, do you have that date whenever you were born again? Do you have that date today that you can say, on such and such a date or at such and such a time, I don't know the exact date, but I know the rough time, whenever the Lord came and dealt with my soul, He brought me into fellowship with Him, He took away my sin, He washed me in His blood, and now I've begun that walk with Christ. Joshua 5:9, that verse that I read, it said, the day when I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And Egypt, of course, in spiritual and biblical terms, always speaks to us of sin. Has there been that taken away of the reproach from you? Has your sin been dealt with? Has your sin today been covered in the precious blood of Christ? Is there a day when salvation entered in? Gilgal was the place of beginnings. And then secondly, Bethel is the place of benediction. The place of benediction. Bethel's the place of worship. And you'll notice that that was the next place that Elijah went to on his journey. When they left Gilgal, he said in verse 2, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Bethel was always a place of worship. In Scripture, it began with Abraham building an altar and calling upon the Lord. You'll find that in Genesis 12 and the verse 8. It was the place where Jacob met with the Lord. And he saw that ladder coming from heaven down to earth and the angels ascending and descending upon it, Genesis 28. The name Bethel, it just simply means house of God. And surely there is an emphasis given even in the specialness of Bethel to Elijah. God is reminding him even on that final journey as he's making that farewell and going from place to place. After the beginning, God directs him straight to the place of prayer. He directs him straight to the house of God. And surely there is that lesson for each and every one of us that are saved. When we've at that beginning, when the Lord has saved us, when the Lord has brought us into His family, and we've become part of the bride of Christ, then there is that emphasis, there is that guidance even of the Lord. The Lord directs us to Bethel. The Lord directs us to the house of God. I wonder today, child of God, how much of your journey through life, how much do you prioritize the house of God? How much do you prioritize the place of prayer? You see, God in His wisdom, God in His guidance, even of Elijah at that time, the very first stop was go to Bethel. He did not send them on a different journey. He did not send them to Jericho before Bethel. He sent them to Bethel before Jericho. Go to the house of God. Go to the place of prayer. Child of God, as we journey through this life in our spiritual walk, may we not detour. May we not say, no, we'll go to another location today. We'll go to A, B, and C before we come to the place of prayer. before we come to the house of God. Elijah came to Bethel because God told him to go there. My friend, this morning God looks for his people to come to the house of God. God looks for his people to come to the place of prayer. God looks for each and every one when these doors are open and the opportunity to assemble, to gather together, that we forsake it not. But rather that we prioritize it, we give it that place that is due to it, that even as we make our way through this life, that we constantly come back to Bethel. We constantly come back to the house of God. We constantly come back to the place of prayer. Gilgal was beginnings. Bethel was benediction. Thirdly, then, he comes to Jericho. Jericho is a place of battle. As it says in that verse once again, as he's making his journey, verse number 4, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Jericho was the place, of course, for the first battle in the conquest of Canaan. When Joshua and the Israelites, they saw the Lord knock down those walls. They walked around that city those number of days, those 6 days, and then they cried and they cried and they marched around it, and then the Lord just knocked those walls down flat. Of course, in the aftermath of that physical battle, Achan sinned and stole that which was God's. And there was the attack of the devil upon the work of the Lord and the life of Israel and of Joshua. It was at a time whenever the nation of Israel was seeking to rid that land of sin and of wickedness. They're seeking to take away all of those kings, all of those armies, to rid it off the influence of the devil and off the darkness of wickedness. And yet here was the devil fighting back even through Achan at that time. He disobeyed the Lord. He took that which was not of his. And the great fights that there were in Joshua's day. Do you think even of the battle that Elijah had to face at Jericho? Because you remember right at the start of our studies in Elijah's life, that Elijah had to look upon the city of Jericho as it was rebuilt. As Hiel came and he built in blatant disobedience of God's command, he built that city. And Elijah looked on and Elijah listened, even as Hiel buried his eldest son. And Hiel continued to build. And then Hiel buried son after son until the youngest was even buried as well. And there at Jericho, Elijah became involved in a great spiritual battle, because Elijah had to set himself to pray down judgment upon his own people. Elijah, even as his heart was breaking at the rebellion of God's word, at those that were disobeying, and even in the tragedies and those warnings that the Lord sent as child after child was killed, and yet the building went on. And so Elijah set himself to prayer. He set himself to that spiritual warfare, that spiritual battle of prayer against his own people. And he prayed, Lord, shut up the heavens. Stop all the rain. Stop all of the dew. Of course, we've looked at in the past, that meant the destruction of the entire economy, the entire livelihoods of all of the Israelites. And that's the battle that Elijah had to face in his day. Child of God, in our day as we walk with the Lord, we have battles to face. Always remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities, the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And understand that it's not just simply a rosy journey as we make our way through, and it's all cherry blossom trees and daffodils to look at. We come and we fight for the Lord, and we fight with the Lord on our side against all of the evils of this world. And there can be intense battles to face. There can be life-changing battles. But thank God the captain of the host fights for us. And he fights beside us. Thank God this morning for the victory that he's already won. Even at the greatest battle that there's ever been in history, the battle at the cross. Yes, my friend, child of God, this morning there are battles to face. There are battles to fight. But as I mentioned, notice the order. Before he went to battle, Elijah went to prayer. Before he went to Jericho, Elijah went to Bethel. And surely that, therefore, is even putting a greater emphasis upon us this morning, that we know we are in the battle. We know that we have battles to face as we journey through life. Then surely we need to give place to the place of prayer. We need to be coming aside. We need to be preparing ourselves, even in that spiritual place, that spiritual closet, and coming into the house of the Lord and crying unto the Lord for that strength. Crying unto the Lord for that power, for that spiritual boldness, for that courage, even before we go to face the battles. Yes, we put on the armor, but we must use the weapons, even as Ephesians 6 and 18 says, we pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, that's the journey, even as you go through life. You start at the beginning. There must be that place of benediction, then the place of battle. But then fourthly, the final place that is mentioned, it's Jordan. It's the place of blessing. The place of blessing. For the Israelites in Joshua's day, Jordan, of course, was the entry point. It was the entry place into the land of Canaan. Whenever Jordan was rolled back, whenever that river split and those waters went those many miles back on either side, then they walked through that place of blessing and they came into the land of promise. And even after that, Jordan was the place that gave them that constant blessing. It tells us Joshua 3:15. That it gave that temporal blessing because every year the river Jordan overflowed its banks at the time of harvest. Now, whenever it overflowed its banks, it overflowed by a mile either side. So you have the width of the river Jordan, and then you have at the time of the harvest, the water would overflow 1 mile on that side and 1 mile on that side to irrigate and to give that nutrients even to all of the ground for a harvest to grow. You see, Jordan was the place, yes, of the inheritance blessing, but it was also the place of temporal blessing. And of course, it is the place of spiritual blessing. Because many times, even at the end of life's journey, Jordan speaks of crossing to heaven. You think of just one of our hymns, there are many of them, but just to mention one, hymn 607. It says, just beyond the river Jordan, just across its chilling tide, there's a land of life eternal. And child of God, we know to a certain extent the blessings that are waiting for us on the other side. We know, of course, the blessings that there are for the believer after death. And even in death, the fact that the Lord will be with us through death. And then the blessings that there are for the child of God when life's journey is over. The end of suffering and sadness. The end of that physical separation from the Lord will be in his presence for all eternity. We'll be in the actual presence looking upon those pierced hands of the Lord. And we'll be with our Savior forever. We'll be praising the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that is set in the midst. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ,
but to die is gain.
That wonderful blessing even there for Elijah, did you notice even as you went through the verses? That even as he came to the River Jordan, as he comes to the end of life's journey, he doesn't fear. In fact, we read the verses together. He's constantly telling Elisha, you stay behind. I have to go on, but Elisha, you stay behind. How many today, whenever they're coming to the end of life, they're constantly asking for someone to be with them. They don't want to be alone. Even just for someone to hold their hand. And yet we read today, Elijah, he constantly was saying to his company, to that one that had been with him for many years, he constantly was saying to him, Elisha, you stay. I have to go on. No, it's wonderful for the child of God. And yes, it is. It is lovely whenever a loved one is passing from the physical world into the presence of Christ. It's lovely to have the family gathered round. Not for a sake of fear, but just to have them to say that final goodbye. But for the child of God, the blessing of having no fear. The blessing of going from this world into the physical presence and the visible presence of Christ immediately. What a blessing. What a blessing is for the child of God. His final location for Elijah was the River Jordan. We're going to look at next week when he comes and he crosses that river. He crossed the river, then he'll be taken up to heaven. We all make our way through life's journey. I wonder today, do you have a beginning in Christ? Are you saved? Are you walking and working for Him? Maybe, child of God, I'm speaking to you today. You're in the battle. You're in the heat of the battle. The temperature's hot. The devil's roaring. Take comfort in those words. Again, I draw them to you as I close. In verse number 1, it came to pass. The battles are for a season. But thank God the blessings of Christ are forever. You know, surely as you walk through this life, I can testify personally, it's so much better to have the Lord with you. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. But that journey in between, regardless of how long it is, whether it be decades, whether you reach a century, or whether it be less, to have the Lord with you, to have the Lord guiding you, to have the Lord directing you, there's no greater blessing. And then to know that when you come to the River Jordan, you come to the end of your life, that you're not simply then just going to a grave or to a coffin, but you're then going into His actual presence. Oh, what a blessing Elijah had even right to the very end of his life upon this earth. As we've noted, he had the battles to face. But he had the Lord with him. Child of God, take heart in that today. Unsaved, may not come to Christ. we not come today and begin that walk with him? And come and have that union, that guidance, that fellowship, that peace that only the Lord gives. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank thee, O God, even for the lessons that we can learn once again from the life of Elijah. We thank thee, O God, that he had a beginning. Lord, we thank thee for many here, even before us, that they can say they have a beginning in Christ. There's that time when they began to walk with the Lord. They were brought into that fellowship and that union with him. And O God, if there be one this morning in our gathering or listening online that is still outside of Christ, still walking away from him, O Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon them. That thou wilt bless even them with, Lord, that effectual calling to their hearts. That thou wilt call them even unto thyself. And thou wilt save their precious souls. And God, be with us this day and bless us. Separate us now one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. And Lord, we pray this evening that thou wilt gather us once again to thy house. With that joy in our hearts, with that desire, O God, to worship and to hear thy word. In Jesus' name. Amen.